across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, July 23rd. And coming up this hour, it's going to be a busy one as we talk to people who are leaders throughout our communities and doing their part to keep you engaged. Civic engagement as important as ever in a swing state like Wisconsin in a year like this. In a little while, we will talk to David Irwin about the group Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. We'll talk to Angela Lang coming up in just a couple of minutes here from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. We'll talk to Chad Holmes about what's coming up on his show on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area, which you can hear on the Civic Media app. In our daily newsletter, you can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie has some notes in there about Brewers logos, but also a story about Wisconsin's new biohealth tech hub, including a link to my article that you'll find at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and the next generation of jobs that are going to be put on the fast track in Wisconsin, with the Department of Commerce awarding nearly $50 million to develop a tech hub here in Wisconsin dedicated to improvements in biohealth and personalized medicine. Governor Tony Evers and Senator Tammy Baldwin were in the Milwaukee area yesterday talking all about that. And again, you can learn the details from our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. Out to the EAA show in Oshkosh now, where meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. She had been camping. She's been all over watching the festivals. And now another fine EAA tradition is to be stuck in traffic, which I believe is where we find Brittany today. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I am. I'm out on the ATV. Well, I've pulled over now, but everybody's trying to get into the gates, trying to get into the event. It is just packed here already, and the rain just rolled through. So it's been a damp, soggy morning here in Oshkosh, and I know that a lot of the eastern and southern parts of the state are feeling that right now. Anyway, from the Fox Valley all the way to Madison, it is raining. No big storms, nothing crazy to worry about, but it is kind of lining up along this stalled-out front. So this is going to be the case throughout the afternoon. Still looking at scattered showers and storms popping up, but again, mainly south. Northwest Wisconsin, you're looking pretty dry today. And high temperatures quite comfortable into those mid-70s. So a little bit of a darker day for most of us, but it's all right. We've got a nice, cool, refreshing day tomorrow with plenty of sunshine on tap.
But more importantly, Brittany, how was the tent overnight?
You know, it was good because the rain didn't hit yet. It wasn't as cold as the night before, where the fog and the mist and everything, it just felt damp in that camper. But last night wasn't too bad. It really wasn't. It was refreshing with the rain rolling in.
Okay. And there'll be much more to talk about from the EAA throughout the course of the week. And Brittany's going to keep us up to speed on that. Rob sends in, good morning from Tigerton. It is cloudy and 64, 9/10 of an inch of rain overnight. From our music segment, he noted that he loves Alison Krauss, especially the remake of When You Say Nothing at All. And he notes that Barry Manilow is having one of his final concerts in Green Bay coming up soon. Brittany, if given tickets to Barry Manilow, would you go, or would you choose to stay in a rainy tent?
Oh, is it up against EAA or that? I'd probably stay in the rainy tent, but if I had nothing else going on, I would go.
There you go. Brittany, thanks so much. Stay dry as best you can and have a great day.
You too, thanks.
All right. Let's catch up now with Angela Lang from BLOC because, again, our theme here is people who get stuff done, and Angela and the folks at BLOC are certainly among them, especially given the changes in the presidential race, kind of this, whatever you want to call it, the dam breaking on tension as far as what would happen on the Democratic side of things. And the news that Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be the presumptive nominee has unleashed a torrent of relief and energy. And let's find out how that's transpired in the Milwaukee area. Angela Lang, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Let's the national news we've talked about, but we'll review the high points again, that the vice president has raised more than $100 million since Sunday afternoon. Nobody that has shattered every record. It beat what Twisters raised at the box office across the country over the weekend. So many volunteer signups, so many Zoom calls that had to be expanded or crashed because of people wanting to get involved in this. You get the question, why all this excitement for a presidential race when there just wasn't that, it didn't seem like there was that much excitement before.
Yeah, I think some folks weren't necessarily excited for the 2020 rematch. And it is not a secret that folks were talking about the age of both candidates. And so to have someone that is younger with a more fresh perspective and a Black woman, the possibility of electing our first Black woman president, I think is very exciting for a lot of folks. And I think it's palpable. And I think it's definitely evidenced by all the Zoom meetings. It started, I think, with Black women, as per usual, that are saying, how are we going to organize some of her sorority members and folks all across the country, even non-political folks joined this call the other night. And they were able to raise $1.5 million in roughly 2 hours. And then there was a Black men call last night, very similar numbers. I'm hearing there's a Latinos for Kamala call that's getting scheduled. White women had a call as well. And you haven't really seen this level of engagement. So I think people feel a little hopeful that maybe that there is a real path for November to stop Donald Trump from getting a second term.
There's definitely a lot of energy for that. And this next question, it might be a bit awkward, but again, as somebody who has said, I really thought Joe Biden was not going to run for a second term. And then when he did, it was like, okay, let's go do this. But I would like to think that all of this new energy on behalf of Kamala Harris and a new generation and everything else is not designed to take away from President Biden and his accomplishments. It's not some kind of a trade-off that way.
Yeah, and I appreciate the question because I think it's important to talk about. I think there's folks who are saying that this was a very courageous move for the president. I think a lot of folks know that, you know, he did not until the very end. He said, I'm staying in. We're going to finish the job. I'm staying in. And I actually saw some commentary floating around on social media where some folks actually felt very empathetic for him and had sympathy for him, and that they understood what it's like to have an elder loved one who may be starting to have health issues or whatever the case may be and have to give up something that they're very passionate about. And so I think just from a human perspective, people have a lot of respect for the president for, you know, stepping aside and kind of seeing the writing on the wall, especially given a lot of the discourse over the last few weeks and especially that debate. I know it couldn't have been an easy decision. And I think people have a lot of respect for it. And I think this is going to be a part of his legacy. And it's not something I think or people are trying to say, oh, Biden was awful. It's just, I think the times people are a little bit more excited for our first Black woman president who happens to be a little younger.
I think as well, it just has infused this sense of family, because like you said, there have been these difficult conversations in families, not just about, you know, maybe taking away the car keys or where you're going to live next, but also like, say, a family business where you look and you say, you know what, kid, you are ready. You're ready to take control of this. And again, not every family has exactly that situation, but it's something that people can relate to. And that's the sense I got from all the activity yesterday, was people were relating to one another like, oh, this election is finally for me again. I can feel a personal investment in this race.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the age perspective, I think, was a little nerve-wracking for folks because people are like, what are these policies look like? How are they going to be implemented, especially under a Trump presidency? But to know that, again, I think it was just like a huge sign of respect. And I've also gotten the question of, what if it wasn't Kamala? What does that look like? She is now have the confirmed amount of delegates there. She is the presumptive nominee or will be at the DNC. And I think people are just excited for a new chapter. I will say that myself included, I was a little nervous about the timing. Do we have enough time? And that was one of the reasons that if President Biden was going to step aside, it had to be Vice President Harris for lots of reasons, for the name recognition, but also for a sign of respect as well. The matriarchs of our community and of our family, it means something and it means a lot to have Kamala Harris as our first Black woman Vice President. And so I think people are feeling, you know, some feelings of nostalgia and feeling that hope. And people are excited to get to work too.
Well, and there was this, what I'd call a collective holding of breath to see if there was going to be some kind of a feeding frenzy where suddenly this Democrat and then this Democrat and then this Democrat said, you know, I'm in. And instead you saw the respect and the coalescing around what is good for the country, which is what's good for the party. People hearkened back to the elections in France, where a lot of people made sacrifices of their own ambition to make sure that we do the right thing for the country. So now you have a presumptive nominee. I think that's pretty safe to say. And her first big rally will be here in this most battleground of battleground states in the Milwaukee area, which I'm sure is going to take up a chunk of your day today.
I mean, I get the question all the time of if Democrats have learned anything from 2016. And I say, look at how many times the candidates come to our state. I think they fully understand the value and the importance of Wisconsin. And I think we've only become even more of a battleground state, if you can even imagine that, since 2016, quite frankly. And I think it means something. I think it's very significant to know that she's coming to Milwaukee. She's come to Milwaukee several times. I actually met her in Milwaukee a few times during some of her visits. And I'm just going to be honest, it kind of makes us feel a little special. You know, when was the last time something of this historic nature happened? And then right off of the heels of it, and within hours or a couple of days, the new nominee, presumptive nominee, is coming to your hometown. And I think people are excited for that. And I think people are excited for what this last couple months looks like, what the campaigning looks like. And I know I'm excited and curious to see how Republicans are going to have to pivot, because they can't just slam Joe Biden's age anymore.
No, they cannot. The tables have definitely turned that way. Angela Lang from Block is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. First, a quick note that the Brewers lost at Wrigley Field to the Cubs. They'll play again tonight, 7:05, pregame at 6:30 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be talking as well in our next hour to a CEO who's part of a group, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. But our chat with Angela Lang continues right after this on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When he swings his bat, the fans go wild, 'cause the ball it'll go 1,000 miles, yeah, man.
This is Cab Calloway on Ed Sullivan's Toast of the Town from this week in 1949. The guests were baseball legends Stan Musial and the focus of this song, Jackie Robinson. Cab was singing a song originally written and performed by Buddy Johnson and also done by Count Basie. It name checks several Negro League stars who were then playing for major league teams. It was on this day in history, July 22nd, 1962, 13 years after that appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, that Jackie Robinson became the first Black American to be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. You can catch everything in our daily history lesson at 6:50 on weekday mornings. And remember, again, Brewers Cubs 6:30 pregame on some of your favorite Civic Media radio stations. Back now with Angela Lang from Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in town later today in the Milwaukee area. And Republicans, Angela, are still trying to figure out how to deal with a selfless act like this. It's not something they were expecting. We played a clip yesterday, or last hour rather, from J.D. Vance, the Ohio senator, who's now Trump's running mate. And it's, you know, harkens back to everything we've heard since Ronald Reagan and before. You know, we name-check welfare queens and lacking a sense of gratitude about American history. And I don't know if that dog won't hunt is the right analogy anymore, but it sure feels like there's not going to be a lot of newness in what we're going to hear on attacks against the vice president.
I mean, Republicans aren't exactly always original and come up with new, fresh ideas. If they did, they wouldn't have the stances that they do. You know, I think it's interesting that he kind of came out of the gate swinging with the racism and misogyny very quickly. And I think it's actually really interesting because I don't think, especially given the groundswell of these Zoom meetings, people are going to get very protective of her, especially Black folks, especially her sorority, and especially Black women. And so as much as I don't want the vice president to have to go through any of that vitriol, I do know that it would actually backfire and actually make our community double down and want to protect her and turn out for her even more. I've seen some commentary on Twitter that I know I identified with, that like every Black woman in leadership knows and is bracing for what she's going to have to deal with, an outspoken Black woman in leadership. But I think all that does is really just show the hands of the Republican Party, and that they called for unity during their convention, but the unity was just only for them. It was the unity for largely white folks. Only 3% of the attendees and delegates were Black folks in Milwaukee. So I think that's wild. And it goes to show that how they really feel about Black folks and Black voters, and all of those attacks that will be on Vice President Harris, a lot of folks will definitely relate to, and it may be triggering for us, but also at the same time, it's something that when we know something is going to happen to a Black woman, some of us, not all, but some of us know and anticipate and do the best that we can to counteract that. And I think that's going to only further the energy on our side, quite frankly.
I feel like, you know, progress always comes in fits and starts. And whether we were talking about feminism, civil rights, LGBTQ issues, just bullying in general, that just because we're saying don't do this anymore, don't be like this anymore, doesn't necessarily mean we're pointing fingers at everybody and saying, oh, you must be a racist. I mean, J.D. Vance was joking about it yesterday, saying, oh, I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday. I guess I'll find a way to make that racist. That's completely the wrong reaction to have. But let's do it this way. Kamala Harris has come to Milwaukee several times, yes, and acknowledged what has been done for the Milwaukee area. It's the largest cog in the economic engine. Mm-hmm. But much like Tammy Baldwin before her, running and becoming the first lesbian in Congress, it's okay, that's you, but who are you on the whole? And on the whole, Tammy Baldwin showed she works for the whole state. She wants to learn about every industry. She has delivered from urban areas to rural areas and beyond. And Kamala Harris has a similar record to run on. You can't pigeonhole somebody like her.
Yeah. And I'll say, too, shout out to Tammy. I feel like a lot of folks have been talking about her recently and how she runs her campaign and how she's able to relate to folks. I definitely am curious to see an event with, you know, Senator Baldwin and Vice President Harris. I think that could also be a really I think that could be a really important event for the state of Wisconsin and for both candidates. I think where the vice president is going to shine is being able to be relatable, be herself. I think folks know that laugh. Folks know and have seen her dance moves. She's not afraid to kind of get out there and be in community and actually look like a real person. I think sometimes in terms of, you know, being a president, or even I think sometimes being a governor and like the higher up in office you go, sometimes it's hard to come across relatable. And some folks do a really good job at it and some folks kind of don't. And I'm excited because I think the vice president is one that can energize folks, can relate to folks. She'll give you a hug. And I've seen her wear, you know, a glitter rhinestone pride jacket at Pride Fest and dancing and having fun. And I think that's where she's really going to shine. And I think there's going to be a difference and a stark contrast between that positivity, that lightheartedness, and the conversely on the other side, this party of hate.
Yeah, if you're folks and anybody listening, if you think you're getting anywhere making fun of her laugh, you know, like you did with Hillary Clinton and others, think again. To just pick something new. All right. So moving forward, you've got a couple of things going on here. We've still got an August 13th election to deal with, which is a primary in many places, but there's a statewide election for these constitutional amendments where Republicans are trying to hoard more federal money and keep it from going out the door. And that's something that Block is involved with as well.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of chatter around these constitutional amendments, and it's just another power grab for Republicans. And the fact that they kind of want to hoard this money instead of it being reallocated, including to places like Milwaukee or to different services that would benefit our community, goes to show continuously how they have these policies that only work in their favor. And I think on contrast, on a local level, it's very different from kind of this unity and this perspective and this pro-Milwaukee sentiment and, you know, resources and things like that in that tone that they took at the RNC just recently. And I said, you know, the comments around like horrible city and how they treat folks and the way they hoard resources and the comments that Robin Voss said that Milwaukee basically shouldn't get rid of its lead laterals because we basically didn't deserve clean drinking water. He targeted Milwaukee specifically. So all of these are reasons why Republicans just want to continue to maintain and to have this continued power grab. And so we are making sure that we're encouraging everyone to vote no on those amendments on August 13th or before if you vote early.
And who knew? It wasn't just that they wanted contaminated water in Milwaukee. The way they're hanging on to the PFAS money for statewide cleanup, they're happy with dirty water everywhere. It turns out it's not just Milwaukee after all. We didn't even get into the gardening that Block does and all the door knocking. We really want to talk to you again before November. Angela Absolutely. Lang, thank you so much. It was great to catch up with you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, we're going to turn to another group that's making sure that people understand the importance of voting and protecting their democracy. We'll be talking to David Irwin from Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy about their group, their principles, their activities. And we'll be talking to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio about what's going to be coming up on his show. And if you're not in the Bull Falls area, Bull Falls Radio listening area around Wausau, well, you can still hear the show. Just go get the Civic Media app, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more or get it wherever you download your podcasts and apps. More after this. You're up north.
See Jackie Robson hit that ball. It went swimming across.
In case you missed it earlier, John Hall, the founder of the group Orleans, there is 76 years old today. Greg was telling me about the Kamala Harris campaign site, and yes, of course, they have a Milwaukee-themed T-shirt there with a star over Milwaukee and the caption, "Not a horrible city," as we try to raise the discourse of the presidential campaign here. Another one of the things that we're trying to do as part of the campaign is make sure that everybody understands their value as a voter, but also as a citizen, as a volunteer, as a participant, whatever the case might be, and to have trust in the election system. It's something that's put on not by one single entity, but by all your friends and neighbors, 1,800 clerks all around the state of Wisconsin. And one of the groups that's also working to help support that base of trust in elections is a group called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. And one of the members of that is a CEO by the name of David Irwin with the company G Thank You. And David joins us now. David, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
So nice to have you here to tell us a bit more about Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, which is, bipartisan, nonpartisan, however you want to shape it. What's basically the genesis of it and the message that this group of business leaders wants to send to Wisconsin voters?
Well, we're just a group of people who are leaders in business, and we've observed how our election systems have been maligned by different actors over the last few years. And we find that concerning, and we have a lot of confidence in our electoral systems. So we're doing what we can in our own workplaces and among our peers to bolster confidence in our election systems and encourage civic engagement.
You know, business leaders don't have to do that. They could just sit on the sidelines, you know, make donations, make public utterances if they want to. But as you noted, you know, over the last 4 years, there's been more of a need to appreciate the democracy that we have. Is this something that was led by, you know, just a couple of key people, or was this more of a consensus thing that is, as more business executives are talking to one another, they realized business has a role to play in this?
I'd really just say that there's a small group of us who just got talking about this a few years ago as we noticed some of the tumult and strains on the system that we thought we might be able to exert a positive influence. So we started doing what we can.
So that includes at the website, which is wibusinessfordemocracy.org. Again, wibusinessfordemocracy.org. There is a civic engagement toolkit to help people create a plan to vote. And while I think a lot of folks who might listen to, you know, news-based programs like this, that might seem almost basic to them, it appears the group understands that sometimes it's the most basic message that has to get out, and that is to have a plan to vote. It's that important for a lot of folks, isn't it?
Well, it is fairly basic, but the toolkit that you referenced was put together by the Waco group, where Tom Florsheim and John Florsheim, members of our group, are. They're a pretty good sized company, so they have the resources to put together that kind of a toolkit. A lot of companies in this state, great companies, you know, have fewer resources in their HR departments and whatnot. So this was just something that Waco put together, and they and the rest of us thought could be useful to a number of other businesses around the state.
And even before the whole notion of voting comes the notion of getting registered to vote and hosting voter registration drives. Is that also part of what Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy is supporting or even participating in?
Well, I think voter registration is very important. And when and where companies have the opportunity and the wherewithal to, you know, to support that or, you know, encourage that and be a part of that process in their workplace communities, then we think that's a great thing to do. And we applaud it.
We're talking to David Irwin. He is the CEO of GThankYou, and he's part of the group Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. Now that we've set up the group, and I'll come back to the group in just a moment, but I wanted to find out just a bit more about GThankYou and the group that you're working with. I saw someplace on here a reference to, what is it, one of America's Home for Employee Gifts. Can you tell us more about the company?
We're a small company based in Fitchburg. And we sell gift certificates primarily to employers that they use to gift primarily to their employees, especially around the holidays, to go buy a holiday turkey, ham, fruits and vegetables, or other festive meals. We also have markets for the coupons in the public sector, in nonprofits, and some other applications.
It kind of fits in with the theme we've talked about a lot on this program and about the role and the leadership role of small business and small business owners who don't just want to make a profit. They want to be good neighbors, members of the community. They want their employees to succeed. And so not only do they have somebody like you who's working on, you know, employee appreciation, but I notice in the Business Leaders for Democracy information here, there's information about time to vote, making sure that companies provide employees with a work schedule that allows them to vote or, if applicable, to have the resources for mail-in ballots or to give time off to be poll workers. And again, David, I don't mean to sound so, you know, Dickensian about it, but again, business leaders, they don't have to do these things, but you get a sense for the ones that take citizenship and community seriously, that you see this as a vital role for your employees to play.
Well, we do, and I don't know. Since you brought it up, let me make clear that our most important goal as a company is to earn the best return we can for our shareholders. But we believe that it's not hard to be a good neighbor. So supporting our people if they'd like to be poll workers in some cases businesses around the state might have people that just have a hard time finding the time in their busy schedule, maybe working multiple jobs, maybe relying on public transportation, maybe not living particularly close to a polling place. I'm not going to tell another business person that time off to vote should be paid myself. But I think we're all members of this republic that we live in, and we should part of the workplace should be, an interest in and a care for the democracy that we're all a part of.
And that includes as well fighting misinformation. And you were cited in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story about the need for the business community to combat misinformation in order to, maintain trust in elections. Again, that's something that in your role, having a bit of a megaphone, I guess, is something that you feel is an important thing to do. Is it something that the group is going to do in any kind of an organized manner, or simply talk about the need to combat misinformation?
Well, I don't see us taking positions on what media outlets are reliable and which ones are less so, but journalism is a very important part of our free society, and we just encourage people and their leaders to be judicious and exercise scrutiny over the credibility of the sources that they are that they're relying upon.
Do you feel like that? I mean, we already were a battleground state in Wisconsin, obviously. Everybody knows that. But with the Republican National Convention just held in Milwaukee, and 4 years before, Milwaukee had hoped to be the home of the Democratic National Convention. Do you feel those things actually makes that work a little bit easier to help voters be aware of, how valuable they are and how special a role they play?
It's an interesting question, and I suppose I do think that merely having had the Republican convention in Milwaukee it brings this news cycle, to the forefront and the front pages for people who might otherwise not be paying a lot of attention to what's going on in the country and the state's political life. So to the extent that hosting that convention just encourage these issues and not merely the different politicians' advertising campaigns, but started to get some of these issues more to the forefront for more people. I think that's probably healthy for our state.
In doing so, anytime you're talking about anything related to politics, of course, you run the risk of things getting off track. One moment you might be, employees might be talking about making a plan to vote, getting registered. Might they want to be a poll worker? And pretty soon somebody brings up something that, that Trump said or Biden or Harris or somebody else. And for many people, that's why they shy away from politics entirely. I certainly get the impression from this group, however, that it's more a matter of, well, look, it's okay to talk about these things, but that, we are a country that can be rooted in civil discourse, and let's talk about these things in a polite manner with one another. Or am I reading too much into, how people talk about politics on the job site?
Well, I guess first I'd say that I think it's a good idea to talk about work at work, and politics is just one of many non-work things that people can be talking about. So that kind of goes against.
Wait! Are you saying that there might be Cubs fans mixed in with the Brewers fans at the workplace?
There might be some, and maybe even some Twins fans and some Yankee fans.
Yep.
Who knows? This week it's been a rough start for the Brewers down in Chicago, but Let's hope they turn that around.
Well, yeah. And you know, just to make sure that folks understand, like I like the way that you put it, that, you know, we're at work to get work done. But when we are having these conversations, that, you know, they can be done in a kindly manner. But especially these things that should rise above divisions, the things that should rise above voting. Are you voting? Do you have a plan to vote? Are you getting registered to vote? I would also still assume after all these years that there are still people that are not familiar with absentee voting, with early in-person absentee voting. So it has to make you feel good that you're providing you and your colleagues this kind of a public service to folks to say, hey, there's not just one way to vote. So there's all these different ways that you can participate that has to bring you a positive feeling.
Oh, I feel good about it. I think it's just the right way to be. All of us who are in business are dependent on the stability, the rule of law, the freedoms that our country allows us. And we should model the behavior of respecting the values and the norms of our democratic system, and encourage our people to care. And I'm not trying to suggest that we have a lot of people who don't care, but it's important to tend to the systems and the traditions and the values and norms that make our country the unique place that it is.
Yeah, the kind of things that we used to take for granted. I recall that this particular group in 2022 voiced support for Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf when she was under attack by some politicians, and pointed out that she has, you know, she and the Elections Commission have run our elections above board, that there's no room for baseless accusations, you know, in something like this. And so it's just a matter of coming to the defense, not just of facts, but of also the good people for running it. And I think that's where we'll wrap things up here, David, is to again get that message out that elections are basically run by and only happen because all of our friends and neighbors, the ones who are poll workers, the ones who are election workers, and a lot of them have jobs. They're at workplaces like yours. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're employees, but we're also citizens.
Absolutely. That's right.
David Irwin is the CEO of G-Thank You and also part of Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. Again, to learn more, head over to wibusinessfordemocracy.org. That's wibusinessfordemocracy.org. David, thank you very much. I think folks learned a lot. I hope they appreciate it and learn all the many ways that we come together as employees, whether we're Democrat, Republican, whether we're Cubs fans or Brewers fans. Thanks, David, for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
When we come back, we will talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio about what's coming up on his program, 8 to 10 every weekday morning, which you can get on the Civic Media app as well. That's coming up in just a moment. Before we get to Chad Holmes, tell you that tomorrow morning we'll have Melissa Baldoff with our weekly climate check. We'll have our homeroom segment, which will include an upcoming guest speaker to the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Summit, all about the false premises upon which the voucher school movement has been built. And Congressman Mark Pocan, slated to be our guest at 7:07 tomorrow morning here on Up North News Radio. Chad Holmes has already had a busy morning at Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, where thunderstorms have rolled through. So, as often happens, there's the occasional tech issue where, you know, the lightning might strike a tower better a tower than a person. Chad's still here, all of his fingers intact. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
I'm doing good. Multitasking with you as we try to get 98.9 back on the air. But yeah, those storms.
I'm familiar with the whole multitasking at a small radio station where you're not just the talk show host and the guest booker. You're the janitor and the night watchman and everything else that goes on up there. It's been a weird few days. You had yesterday on the show to kind of start to digest all of the happenings with the president's announcement. So let me launch into it this way by saying that yesterday could have gone several different ways. Yesterday could have been, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, Gavin Newsom in California going, I'm running for president. I'm the best guy. And Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. And it, the whole headline of the day would have been Kamala Harris, you know, snubbed, disrespected, passed over. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be chaos on the streets of Chicago. And I'm not telling you that that couldn't have happened, but it was almost like, I'm going to use the word jerk, but you can insert a word that begins with the letter A, if you like. Nobody wanted to be that jerk, you know, and be the first one to go, yep, I'm going to do this. I can do this better than Kamala Harris. Everybody held their breath, looked at one another. Nobody went first. And that's not anything against the vice president. That's a way of saying, you know what? She's ready. I believe in her. I can get behind her. Let's go. Or maybe I read too much into how crazy yesterday could have gone.
Oh, it absolutely could have been. And I think that President Joe Biden has a lot to do with that because these days, I'll take anything that I read with a grain of salt because, frankly, I just think that there's a lot of stirring of the pot. But according to something that I had seen, that there was a possibility of some leadership within the Democratic Party not wanting the president to endorse the vice president that quickly, that they wanted to have this opportunity to let folks jump in. But no, the president immediately said, no, I think that Kamala Harris is the person that should succeed me and be the nominee for the party. And I think that was a key moment in terms of really making this as smooth as possible, because and there were still people on the opinion page saying, it's not that Vice President Harris is the wrong choice, but it should have been open and allow this. No, for the party at this point, that would have been very, very, very difficult.
Absolutely. And I just don't see a point where Joe Biden doesn't go with his vice president. I mean, that's just not in his DNA. He'd have to spend all the rest of this year answering questions about that. And so when you had like Aaron Sorkin writing in the New York Times over the weekend, oh, Democrats should nominate Mitt Romney. I'm like, you got to stop watching so much TV.
He went back on that. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Sorry.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He's like, bip. Yeah, people were also saying things like, we need to unify the country. You should put Liz Cheney or Mitt Romney. I'm like, no, they don't owe you anything. They don't owe anybody anything but the best. This isn't about a gesture like that. That's a gesture, nothing more.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say something real quickly before we move forward?
Yes.
Something I went through Sunday when the announcement came down, and I think it's being maybe underappreciated by a lot of folks out there. I was genuinely sad for more than 24 hours. When I heard it, I didn't sit there and watch TV. I got out. I went out and painted lines at a football field, helping out to get out of the house because I didn't want to deal with that at that point. I was saddened for the president. I was saddened that we got to this point. There have been moments in the last few weeks, as I told you, that I've been angry about what's been going on. Yeah. In terms of the leaks, I think that Chuck Schumer has been an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. Going to Delaware a week and a half ago and then reading all these leaks about what happened there. And maybe I'm wrong by pointing fingers at him, but it just seemed wrong in that respect that the drip, 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 all these leaks coming out. I know that the ultimate goal here is to make sure that Donald Trump does not return to the White House. But at the same time, there are many people, and I would put myself in this boat, that have been admirers of Joe Biden for a very long time, who think he's done just an outstanding job. And there is, while we are very, I think, very enthused about the vice president and still very enthused about going out and doing what it takes to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't return, there is, I still think, even up to this, even a couple of days later, there's still a sadness that the president has been pushed out. And again, we can talk about,
well, it comes back to the difficult family conversation. It's time to take the car keys away. Or I've also had friends go through just the torturous process of somebody insisting that they can still live on their own when it's quite clear that they need help. And that's not where I'm putting Joe Biden. I'm saying that in the realm of difficult family conversations, in this case, being a nominee of your party who could win an election or could cause you to lose, you know, control of the White House, the House and the Senate. Again, these difficult, we don't have a template for these kinds of discussions. And I think, as I was saying with Angela Lang from Block, now that we've come through it, I think everybody kind of feels this family sense of, okay, you know, Joe knows we still love him, you know, but now let's, you know, let's pass the torch and let's go from here. And I think I see it as net positive, but I know exactly what you're saying. This has been a rough couple of weeks.
And frankly, I mean, the last couple of days I've seen in my emails from Adam Schiff. I'm not ready to open and hear anything from Adam Schiff.
No. And you don't have to be.
And frankly, tomorrow morning, I'm not looking forward to hearing you talk to Mark Polkant. I'm still a little annoyed.
I am definitely looking forward to that conversation. And I know he will absolutely step up and talk about the difficulties of it. It's not going to be fun.
But bottom line is, I think that what we've seen the last day, mm-hmm. I think the vice president has had a wonderful launch. I was moved immensely. I don't know if did you see where she was in Delaware and saw the president with her mm-hmm. over the line. Yep. I mean, I thought it was wonderful.
It is, and I think we're going to have more good stories like that. Chad Holmes coming up next on Bull Falls Radio. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
And Greg will be back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air. Say goodbye, Greg.
Goodbye, Greg.
And I guess, as I mentioned, tomorrow, Congressman Mark Polkant will be here. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media or at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning up north.